God our Father, we, and Lord, when I say we, I speak for this house, because you have made me shepherd over this house. And so, Lord, I speak for this house when I say we are grateful that you have given us this opportunity to sit at your feet again and to hear, Lord, what you are saying to the church. We are honored to be in your presence. In the presence of our God, there is liberty. There is freedom. There's joy. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this day and for forgiving us of yesterday. Thank you, God, for making old things pass away and making all things new. Thank you, sir. From the rising of the sun, you kissed us on our face, lifted us from our slumber, steadied our feet, strengthened our ankles, our knees, our hips, and we stood up in the power of God. And you've moved on us all day long, and all of it was to bring us to this moment. You got us through the traffic. You got us up the stairs and down the hallway. You wouldn't let the devil rob us. And all of it was to get us to this point. We did not realize all the things you were doing. We cannot mention all of them, for there are so many. But God, you did so many things to get us to this moment. In our mother's womb, you saw this moment. When we were struggling, you saw this moment. And so, Lord, we must now reevaluate what it means to hear preaching. Preaching is our life. How shall they hear without the preacher? And oh, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring this good news, these glad tidings. You didn't give us governors, presidents, princes, or potentates. You gave us the preacher. Why would you do that? Because we need preaching. Preaching changes our lives. It opens our awareness to salvation. And so thank you for the preaching moment. God, I promise I'll pay more attention to preaching, for I need your word. It is my life. For heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of our God will last forever. God, might I be found in preaching. Hide me in your word. And thank you, God, again for my life. Sir, we would see Jesus. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, have mercy. And the redeemed of the Lord would say together, amen. Come on, give God some praise together. I'm going to ask you to praise him one more time. I know I'm bothering you. I know I'm getting on your last nerve, but it's my God I'm talking about. And if I can't get you to praise the Lord, I can't get you to do anything. Hallelujah. Can somebody just give him a real praise? You know your story. You know what you've been through. You know what it took to get you here. Can you just praise him? Grab your Bibles, your smartphones, your tablets. Look on your neighbors if you have to. The book of Joshua in the Old Testament of our Bible. Start at the front, you'll get there quickly. Book of Joshua in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. I know it's getting late already, and I don't apologize for keeping you in worship. Keeping you in worship might have kept you out of trouble. Amen. Thank you, Bo. Amen. Joshua chapter 24. I really want to concentrate, Dr. Dixon, on the preaching moment from most of the entire chapter, really. I could read all of it, but I won't take up all of your time. But if you'll come down and meet me around the 14th verse of chapter 24, I can make my case, and I'll let you move on. I have a New Living Translation Bible. Might read a little different than whatever version you pulled up on your device or you might have in your hand. But we made an effort here at the church to switch all of our Bibles out to New Living Translations. So if you grab one of the pew Bibles, you're going to be right on with us. Beginning at verse 14 of chapter 24, we catch Joshua in conversation. He says, "So honor the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors? Your ancestors served before and beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Verse 16 says, "The people replied, 'We would never forsake the Lord and worship other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our eyes, before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord. He alone is our God.' Then Joshua said to the people, 'You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy and jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and sin. If you forsake the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn against you and destroy you, even though he has been so good to you.' But the people answered Joshua, saying, 'No, we are determined to serve the Lord.' 'You are accountable for this decision,' said Joshua. 'You have chosen to serve the Lord.' 'Yes,' they replied, 'we are accountable.'" God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of the Lord. I'm so thankful to God that you're here. I want to grab your attention very quickly and see if I can't help us a great deal. And look at, again, verse 22, Joshua 24, where it says, you are witnesses to your own decision, Joshua said. You have chosen to serve the Lord. Would you help me quickly look at your neighbor and simply say this, neighbor, it doesn't matter what you say until you mean what you say. Amen. I love you. I'll never leave you. I forgive you. Hey, we cool. I promise I'll never hurt you. You're my best friend. Hey, you ain't got nothing to worry about. If you ever need me, call me. You're not bothering me. All of those things things are sayings that we hear frequently from people. Sometimes we hear these things from people who love us, people who we are in a relationship with. Some of these people, we trust them and we have given them carte blanche into the secret and intimate areas of our lives. And they said they loved us. They said that they would never leave us. They said they'd never hurt us. They said that our secrets were safe with them. They said, I'll never betray you. They said, just call me. It doesn't matter what time of night. If you need something and I got it, it's yours. They said that. But how many of you can lift your head and get over your frustrations and say back to me that it doesn't matter what they say until they say what they mean? We've all been hurt by words. We've all been betrayed by words. But here in Joshua 24, there are so many words. There's so many things that Joshua says. Can I set it up very quickly? I know I'm taking up too much of your time. But Joshua is just about done. Joshua is an older fellow now. He's not that strapping young fellow that went out on a limb and told the truth when other folk lied. It's not the same guy that when he was much younger who was serving as aide-de-camp to Moses and inherited, unbeknownst to him, the position of leader among God's people. It was a surprise to Joshua that day when God called him in the office and simply said to him, "My servant Moses is dead." And not giving Joshua time to mourn or to make adjustments in his life, to go home and tell his wife that we moving or we got promoted. And God said, "Now be strong and of a good courage. The job is yours." And Joshua did not have a first right of refusal. He could not say to God, "I don't want to deal with these people. I saw what they did to Moses. I know what kind of stuff goes around, the shenanigans and the fraud and shine. I don't want no part of that because I know from whence these people deal." God said, "No, you are the guy." And so he has endured. He has done quite well. And Joshua knows what the integrity of words mean. Can Deacon Walker, can I say that again? Because some of you don't. Some of you are habitual liars. Some of you are frauds dressed up in finery. Some of you sit in God's house and lie to him in your praise and lie to him in the presentation of your so-called tithe. Some of you just lie. I feel your attitude. But Joshua knows the integrity of words. And some of you need to learn the integrity of words. I have said to you before, and I guess some of you now take it as a hollow gesture on my part, but it's time for some of y'all to go. It's time for some of y'all to no longer be leaders in this ministry because you don't know the integrity of words. You keep saying things to God, and you know you don't mean it. You keep saying things like, "I'm going to do better. It's the year of my emancipation. It's the year of my experience. It's the year of my doing better." Watch nights have come and gone, and we've rededicated, and we have repented, and we have. You got to stop saying what you don't mean. And it is not meant to be a discourse of dismissal. It is simply a discourse of dedication. Notice what Joshua does very quickly. Joshua stands up before them and says to them, "The only thing that really matters is what I want for you from God." That's really the summary of what he's saying. And I agree with Joshua. I stand, Deacon Anderson, with Joshua today. And I'm saying to you, beloved of God, Brookville, those of you that are here and those of you whose cousins, husbands, friends, and relatives are not here, please go and tell them that I'm not against them. I'm like Joshua. The thing that I want for you most is what God wants to give you. Joshua says, please understand that God has brought us from a mighty long way. Joshua says that what I want for you and what I want from you is the same thing that God gave to you that God expects back from you. Can I tell you why that's not impossible? Because you started with nothing. And everything you have, God gave you. So how can you say you don't have something to give a God who gave you what he's asking you to give? I'm preaching better than y'all talking. Joshua and I are standing together in front of an assembly of God to whom we know God has been good. Joshua's not talking to strange company. Joshua's not talking to Amorites, Jebusites, Perizzites. He's talking to the children of God who God has brought through everything they ever got through and now have everything God ever gave. This is the same people who walked through the desert and their shoes didn't wear out. These are the same people that had on the same clothes when they left Egypt that they were wearing when they went into the promised land. This is the same people that never shopped in a Kroger or Food Line and their bellies were never empty. This is the same people that God brought through to, and all he's saying now is do. We have no excuses. So we must learn very quickly the integrity of words. The Bible says, let your word be your bond. See, only three people seem to heard that. Because only three people really said something, and I could calculate there were three people. There's more than three people. I just thought I used three. But the reality is, Joshua says to them, be faithful. You're quiet now. Like you've been quiet most of the day. There are a few praises that have done a little shouting and waving of the hands, but can I make my case? I mean, I don't mean to trouble you along. It's about 12 minutes to one. If you help me, I can help you. But here's my case. There's not a doubt in my mind, not one single shred of doubt, that not one person in here can say that God has not been good to you. There's not one person there. I don't care how bad it's been. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many disappointments you've had. I don't care how many people lied to you, lied on you, lied about you. I'm telling you now that you have seen wonders in your lifetime. You have not only felt the hand of God, you saw it. God's been good to y'all. I said, God has been good to y'all. There's not one person in here that ought not to shout, yes, sir. I know your story. I've seen your children. I've seen you in the hospital. I've seen you in the funeral home. I've seen you bury your dead. I've seen you birth your young. I'm telling you now that you yet remain alive because God has been faithful. And so what if you don't have everything you want? He's giving you what you need. I'm looking at you and I wonder, why don't you reciprocate to him? Joshua stands and says to them, here's my case. Joshua reminds them of all of their journey. Dr. Dixon, Dr. White, Muriel, you know, from the crossing of the Jordan to the present place in which they stand. We say it in our modern church to Mika that he's been our bridge over our troubled waters. He's been our water in dry places. He's been my bread when I was hungry. He's been shelter in the time. God has been a strong deliverer. Very present help in the times of our trouble. And everybody I know been in some kind of trouble. Joshua says, remember, O Israel, that no matter what the grief, he still deserves the glory. That's why the Bible reminds us that we are overcomers. Look at your name and tell him, you can't handle what I've been through. That's why God didn't pick you. Not everybody can be a Linda Ware. Not everybody can be a Jesse Davis. Not everybody can be a Doris Woodson. Not everybody can handle it. Well, when When I look at Jesse and Linda and Doris, I say, God, what you did to them, do it for me. Let me be an old man. Let me get to the point where folk got to help me. Let me get to a point where my children can prove how much they love me by walking slow with me and fixing my hair. I ain't got no hair. But God, you did it. Joshua said, no matter what hell you've been through, God still reserves the right to hear hallelujah. And he reminded him, he said, I am telling you that you have been recipients of the favor of God. I'm trying to hurry. Joshua stands there and takes his time. And I can imagine, Melvin, that while Joshua, and I told you it's all of verse chapter 24, Eric, but I can imagine while Joshua is standing there telling them how good God has been, that the reason it took him so long because folk kept interrupting him. Deacon Anderson, I can see that as Joshua is telling them about how good God has been, people kept breaking into praise breaks. Every time Joshua mentioned the bread, the manna, somebody broke out in a praise. When Joshua mentioned how the enemies have been abated, somebody broke out in a praise. When Joshua mentioned how Meribah was dry, but water began to flow. When he mentioned that they were never hungry. When he mentioned their clothes didn't wear out. When he mentioned every good thing God had done, he kept getting interrupted by praise. Victory after victory. Every time, Sister Anderson, they moved into a new territory, every time God gave them new land, every time God blessed them with another victory, all they had to do was unpack and bless his name. How do you know, Pastor? He said, I'll give you houses you didn't build. I'll let you drink from wells you didn't dig. I'll let you eat off trees you didn't plant. How many know that it's time to unpack and give him the praise? So I was kind of hoping, Melvin, that kind of like while Joshua was reminding them, I was kind of hoping along through here that every time I mentioned the goodness of the Lord, somebody would break out in a praise. I mean, I was really kind of hoping that y'all would help my preaching by thinking on the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for you. I know you don't have Amorites to deal with. I know you don't have Jebusites, but you've had your enemies. I know you may not have ever been hungry, but I know you've been to the grocery store. You may have never been unemployed, but you sure been picking up them checks every 2 weeks. And I'm telling you now that nobody did it like Jesus did it. Nobody brought you like Jesus brought you. Nobody keeps you like Jesus keeps you. And if there's anybody in here with any integrity whatsoever, you will give God a praise of thanks, because if it had not been for the law. All I'm suggesting is that it's good for us to remember what the Lord has done for us. And so here's a little quick bonus. I know I'm going to get in trouble. I put it in here, Brother Stace. I put it here. And I don't want them to think I'm lying. Come here quickly. You know, I like to be validated. So I was sitting, it says right there, I was kind of hoping right along through here the same thing would happen. Yeah, okay, you can go sit down. I was really hoping that somebody would remember the goodness of the Lord. So Dr. Dixon, I thought I'd put a sub point in here. Because what I'm really trying to get you to understand in this, it doesn't matter what you say until you really mean what you say. Joshua's standing there talking to them. Now notice the text very quickly. You preachers can help them with it in the parking lot. I know some of them are going to be leaving us. They're going to walk out, and that's okay, I suppose. But you help them. Please help them to understand when I'm not here one Sunday or Thursday. Please explain to them what I'm trying to tell them. I'm telling you now, beloved of God, that all Joshua's trying to get them to understand is that God has been faithful. That God has kept every word of his promise. Listen, no matter what the gravity of their grief might have been, they had to go through some stuff. But I know somebody in here knows that if you hadn't gone through what you went through, you wouldn't be the you that you are. So Joshua helped him. He said, listen, I know, again, some of y'all want to hurry along, Sister McKenzie.
These are the points I was going to use, but I'm not going to use because I got some other points that I'm going to use. But there are three things. If you really want to have integrity in your relationship with God, can I give you three easy ones? Y'all can use these in y'all sermons away from Brookville sometime because they're going to remember I said it first. But there are three things you can do, Dick and Anderson. The first thing, always reflect and rejoice on the past. That's deliverance. And that's what he does. In the early part of the conversation, what he's trying to get them to do is to remember. Joshua is saying, watch this, this is good preaching right here. Joshua is saying that the greater you understand looking back, the greater you understand going forward. Okay, y'all miss it. What I'm saying is, when you remember how good he's been, you can't wait to see how good he's going to be. God Almighty, I feel my help coming. Always reflect and rejoice on the past. That's called deliverance. The second thing, Tamika, always know that there is a promise for your future. That's called destiny. Listen, let me tell you right now, no matter how bad it is right here, right now, always remember there's a promise for your future. In other words, you can always count on God to bust a move on the next time. You can always count on God to take that thing a little higher. You can always count on God to remember what he did and then show out with what he's doing. You can always count on God to get you from here to there because there is where he is and here is where you came from. You can always count on God. Third thing y'all can use these preachers is always take responsibility for the present. That's called discipline. And that's what Joshua does. Joshua says, listen, you do understand that where you are right now is about responsibility. Because God brought you here, you got to do something. Can I preach to the church I pastor? You know, where we is not where we always was. And where we're going is not where we are. I always remember that because he has delivered us, we have a duty to do greater. And so what it is, take responsibility for the present. Joshua is saying to them, okay, let's look at where we are now. And you'll notice in the text, that's what it does. And here's a free bonus. Y'all can all have this. I'm convinced of God, and the Bible backs me up, Deacon Davis, is that what God does for his people depends on what his people do for him. Y'all don't believe it. What God does for his people depends on what his people do for God. I know I'm right. Because scripture shows us that when they responded properly to God, he did something else. When they did it wrong, he did nothing else. So how God moves depends on how we move, just like that. So Joshua stands there and reminds them of resourcefulness and a responsive God. What are you saying? He says, listen, you do know that God has done this. Can I hurry along here now? It's right at 1 minute to one, and I know that means shut down for some other style church folk, but those of you who've been with Leroy a while know, well, he's just getting started. What Joshua does, Deacon Anderson, is he says to them, now, are you ready for the question? We'll do that Hitchcock thing. Are you ready for the question? You know, whenever you bring up something in the church, it's always up for debate. It's always got to be wrestled around. Folk got to mill it over and pray about it a while. So I'm going to ask the question, are you ready for the question? And so what Joshua does is three things, and I'll let you go. First of all, if you go back to verse 1 and 2, you will discover that Joshua used two good pastoral moves in order to get the folk to understand that what they say won't matter till they mean what they say. Can I preach a little bit long through here? First of all, he calls them to reconnect. I'm trying to say now, Greater Brookville, that some of y'all has been in disconnect mode too long. Joshua calls them to reconnect. Look at the verse. Joshua calls them and says to them, let's come together. They meet at Shechem, and they meet there because that's where Joshua said meet. Here's what's wonderful about that. He calls them to a place that is near and dear to their hearts. He calls them to a place where they remember that this is the place where God first promised to Abraham that generation after generation is going to be blessed. Pastor, what are you saying? Well, it's kind of like the Hebrew writer. writer says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, because we see what's happening in this time. Shechem is important to them because that's the first place of their realized and promise. So realize now that Greater Brookville is the place that we're calling you. We're calling you because it is the place that ought to be near and dear to your heart. The old song we used to sing in the church says, at the cross where I first saw the light. It was there by faith that I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day long. I wish I had a happy church. I wish I had some church folk in here that remember at the cross, because it is a place that is near and dear to our hearts. I wish I had somebody that understood that symbolically this is our Shechem. This is the place where we began to hear the promises of God. It's because my pastor preached that gospel that I'm still yet alive. It's because he baptized my children, married off my young. It's the place where I said my final goodbyes to my mama. It's the place where I hear the Lord speaking to me. I hear him in a lot of places, but there's no place like this place. And so Joshua calls them to reconnect, to hook it up again. And notice what the Bible said. The Bible says all of the leaders and all of the tribal leaders, the captains and Humpty Dumpty, all the king's horses and all the king's men met him there together again. And the people came to hear what Joshua had to say. They reconnected. They didn't come with attitude. They didn't come because they were frustrated. They came because they knew that when the man of God speaks, we're going to get a blessing. They came to reconnect. They didn't forsake their assembly together. And how many know that some folk miss church too much? Some folk just don't come and then wonder why their lives are all disconnected, why they ain't got no power, why they don't understand purpose, why they don't have no potential, because they're not connected. Joshua said, let's reconnect. Meet me in the place that we remember that's near and dear to our hearts. Sandra, I'm going quickly. The second thing he does in verse 2, Melvin, is he tells them to remember. He simply said to them, if it had not been for the Lord, Joshua does the throwback Thursday. Joshua said, let's just go back and remember that Abraham was our father and that God called him. Here's what I want you to understand about remembering. You know, when God called Abram, Abram was not preacher, pastor, deacon, elect, or anything. Abram was a heathen. His daddy was a heathen. And God called him, watch this now, because whenever God calls, he's got grace and favor when he calls. And so he calls him, and watch what Joshua does. Joshua says, remember when we were on the other side of the flood, the Euphrates. Remember when we were living in captivity. Remember when we couldn't decide how to come and go on our own. He said, but God called us because of goodness and grace and gave us a land. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the first possessors of this promise, and he protected and delivered them. And watch what Joshua said. He said, now remember, God did this with a mighty hand. God caused your neighbors, your enemies to fall by the wayside, defeated nations for your sake. Look at your neighbor and say, I know God done took care of some business for me. Yeah, there are some folk that God got rid of for me. There are some dangers that God alleviated for me. There are some missteps that God kept from tripping me up. That's why he's a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you do well to be my friend, because if you're my enemy, God's going to deal with you. He defeated them. He brought them, watch this, coach, into the place called promise. And the Bible says that God kept his word and drove out their enemies before them. I ask the question, beloved of God, are you ready for the question? My first question is, what more could God have done? I mean, what more does God have to do in this place to get some of y'all to mean what you say and say what you mean? How much more does God have to do to get you to reconnect with him? How much more does God have to bring to your remembrance before you take responsibility? How many times does God have to get you a get out of jail card? How many times does God have to fix your prescription? How many times does God have to rig up the jury in your trial? How many more times does God have to prove himself before you can remember and take responsibility? Then the third thing, Sandra, is that Joshua stand before them, and here's a real time question. Joshua stand before them and ask them, will you remove the idols? Will you get the junk out of your trunk? Will you stop playing with God. I'm preaching now. Will you stop shenanigans and foolery? Will you stop worshiping stupid stuff that can't bless you? Will you stop worshiping that little job you got? Will you stop worshiping them few dollars you got? Will you stop worshiping your children, worshiping your spouse, and worshiping your possession? Will you remove those idols? Can I tell you, everybody's got an idol of some kind. And here's what I thought interesting in the text. If you look at it there in the chapter, Joshua says what I think every pastor wants to say. And since I want to say it, I'm going to say it. If you ain't going to worship God, you're going to worship something. Yeah, Joshua says, then make a decision. Either you're going to worship idols. You're going to worship money. You're going to worship your good looks. You're going to worship your hair. You're going to worship your nails, your mani-pedi. You're going to worship your reputation. You're going to worship something, but I'm giving you a choice. Remove the idols. You're going to either worship the foolishness of your friends and your fraternity and your sorority or your good old boy club. You're going to worship the gods of yesterday, or you're going to worship the Lord. Yeah. Deacon Anderson, we were talking about discipline. So Joshua sets a discipline. He said, this is how you ought to love the Lord. You ought to worship the Lord. You ought to serve him. You ought to love him. He said, that's reverence. He said, you ought to give it to him wholeheartedly. You ought not be playing with God. You ought not be sitting up in God's house and your mind is here, but your body on the other side of town. You ought not be sitting up here looking at your watch rather than looking in the face of the Lord. You ought not be sitting up here talking about what you're going to do when you leave, because you may not live to leave. You ought to worship him in spirit and in truth. You ought to stop coming to church to leave church, but come to church to be church. Too many of us come to church with an exit strategy. Before we can sit down good, we're ready to walk out. There is no reverence there. You can sit on your job for 8 hours a day. You can't sit in the church for an hour. You can ride to the outlet mall in Williamsburg and ride to King's Dominion. You can ride to Carowinds. You can ride down to eat in the country. And you can't sit in God's church and worship him. Put away the idol. You're not playing nothing for Sunday, but worship. And your friend and neighbor, that's what you're doing Sunday, worship. What time you get out of church? Worship. What time y'all start? Worship. I'm asking you different questions, but answer the same. Worship. Joshua said we must enact a new discipline. We have come out of the foolishness of our past. We are not the same heathens that we once were. Excuse me, Holy Ghost. He said, some of us are not. Because if you cannot reverence him, then you should receive nothing of him. Then Joshua said, Deacon Anderson, must we worship and reverence him wholeheartedly? He said, then you must remove yourself, the idol. He said, you're gonna serve something. You're going to worship something. But it's not up to me to clean up your house. It amazes me, Sister Walker, how folk want me when they want me. And when they don't, they definitely don't. You'll figure that out in a minute. Oh, yeah, let me. I'll go ahead and tell it. When you want me at the hospital and you want me to do the wedding and you want me to do the funeral and you want me to pray for your children and you want me to go to the school, you want me to write a letter to the judge. When you want me, you want me, but when you don't want me, you definitely don't. It is not up to me to clean up your house. So, Davis, I almost said what I wanted to say, but the children are here. Joshua said, you remove the idol. I'm not coming to everybody's house and clean it up. I'm not coming in there to take down your idols of money, your idols of gold, your idols of silver. Joshua said, you remove them. Notice what he said to them, Sister Anna. He said, now go on. I heard what you said. Now I'm going to watch and see what you do. Word integrity. I'm preaching myself into trouble, but I like it. He said, you remove them. I don't know what idols you got. As I said, Joshua proved something that I know is to be true. We're going to worship something. Joshua said, remove. Then he says, the third thing, Dr. Dixon, that is important, reverence, remove. Then he says, you ought to reconsider. I'm just about done here. He said, you ought to reconsider. I'm going to get in trouble right here. Come on, I know I am. I know I'm going to get in trouble. I didn't mean to me to get in trouble, but I'm going to get in trouble. I put a note here that said, you're going to get in trouble. Joshua says, as for me and my house. Now watch what they see. A lot of times, you know, we build on that, Deacon Davis. Everybody like walking around. You know, Joshua said. But if you read the text in its integrity, they said the same thing. How come we never say that? How come people don't walk around saying, you know, the children of Israel said, as for me and my house. They said to Joshua what Joshua said to them. They missed the setup, Dr. Dixon. Here's what I'm telling you. Of all the good preaching I've done and all the good teaching I've done, it's about time for some of y'all to say back to me what I said to you. Because what I said to you ain't what you've been saying to me. And what I showed you ain't what you're showing me. And what I showed you to show God ain't what you're showing God. Joshua said, y'all need to reconsider. Joshua said, I wish I could preach. Said, you know, you were doing good until. Joshua said, y'all going to serve some God. I know y'all. Deacon McKenzie, I will tell you now that it's a lot of false serving going on in this church. Whole lot of y'all got gods of employment, gods of external obligation. You can't come to church every Sunday because you got other things to do on Sunday. But the Lord's day is the Lord's day. Some of y'all need to reconsider. Some of y'all ain't never came to Bible Academy. Some of y'all ain't going to get up on Sunday morning. But it amazes me how your alarm clock can get you up to go to Mr. Charlie, but it can't get you up to come to God. Joshua said, y'all ought to reconsider. Told y'all gonna get in trouble. Joshua said, y'all gonna serve some God. So you might as well reconsider which God you gonna serve. He gives them an indication. Watch now. He uses the same points he used earlier. He said, let me reconnect you because you remember when you were on the other side of the river and your forefathers were crazy. They serve idols and gods of other nations around them, but I'm telling you now, you need to choose. Yeah. Audrey, can I tell you that it's not me you're choosing? Personally, I wouldn't want to be none of y'all's God. Too many of y'all are unfaithful. You'll leave me hung out to dry. I'm not asking you to choose me. Joshua says, don't look at me. Choose God. Here it is, Dr. Dixon. It's not that just encouraging preaching. It's essential preaching. Joshua says, me and my house. Now, here's what you did not see, and I'll be quickly here. I know it's 10 after 1, 14. Joshua said that. Miss Joshua didn't say nothing. The little Joshuettes didn't say nothing. He didn't ask them their opinion. I'm convinced of God that Joshua, when he stood up and said, as for me and my house, looked at his family and said, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, y'all ain't got no choice. I chose for you. Can I throw in my parental applause here? Any parent that has the foolishness of mind to think your children gonna make a wise decision about God, you done bumped your head. You train up the child. You wouldn't give a child a choice to make like that. So you got to say, as for me and my house. Here it is. Parents, before you get to shaking your fist at your children, whatever fall off your lips ought to be how you live. You can't be talking about do as I say and not as I do. Joshua said, y'all need to reconsider. We have come to this point in our journey, and God has been good. Here it is, Deacon Davis. their unanimous reply was, three times they said, we will serve the Lord. Here is what I noticed in the text, Mother Davis, there was no dissension among the delegates. Again, that Robert's rule thing would suggest to us that there was a quorum of some sort, and somebody would say, again, as we often say, are you ready for the question? Nobody did that because there was no dissension among the delegates. Three times they said to Joshua, the same thing you said to us, 16, 21, 24, we're going to say the same thing back to you. Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, Brookville, that we need to be one voice unto one God. That's why God said, I'll give you pastors to lead you. God is not interested in congregational opinions. What God is interested in is congregational compliance. When the man of God speaks to us, our response to him is, whatever you said, that's what we want you to say back to God. Joshua, we can't preach like you preach, and we can't rail back like you rail back. But when you go back into the secret place with God, would you please report to him that we all said amen? Would you go back and tell God 'tis well with our souls? Will you go back and tell God we said thank you, sir, for delivering us from evil? Thank you, sir, for being the bridge over our troubled waters. Thank you, sir, you kept little Johnny out of jail. Thank you, sir, you kept Susie's skirt down. Thank you, sir, you showed us a more excellent way. And would you please tell God that he can depend on us? For just like he said, he will never leave us nor forsake us. We ain't going nowhere. We don't feel no ways tired. We just as happy as honeybees. And it's just good for us to be here. Joshua, thank you, son. But I reply to God is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Is there anybody here that has reconsidered your position and would like to reconnect with God because you remember how good he's been? Would you please, son, let the noise that comes up from the church be the unanimous sound of amen? And they all sat together. Hey! Well, before we go, I got to tell you, as with anything, there's a reality that comes in. I said to you, Dr. Dixon, that their reply was unanimous because they assured Joshua the remembrance of the Lord, the resourcefulness of God, and the responsibility that God has given. The resounding reply to God was the only right response. But Deacon Anderson, I noticed something that his rebuttal further demanded greater responsibility. Good preaching there, Tamika. His rebuttal, notice what he says to them. Joshua said, y'all lying. So then the text, okay, somebody said, he didn't say, okay, Joshua said, y'all ain't telling the truth. Okay, somebody said, no, that's not what it is. Joshua said, you're not going to do it. Because what comes off your lips is not going to be your life. Joshua said, I know y'all. But notice this, Dr. Dixon, he said, if you continue to serve idols, y'all going to jack this thing up. He said, you can't serve the Lord because he's jealous. He's a God that doesn't share very well. If Jesus had been in our classroom in kindergarten, they would have made him get out the sandbox. He's not a sharing kind of guy. Watch this now. Joshua said, Deacon Anderson, I see it now, and I'm getting ready to leave y'all alone. Joshua said, if y'all keep going in this course of idolatry, y'all going to bring down the wrath of God, not just on you, but on all of us. Can I talk about Achan for a minute? The Bible shows us that when the treasury came up a little short and some things were missing, he went to him. He said, listen, has anybody taken anything that they were not supposed to take? Everybody sit around and say, no, we good to go. He said, listen, there are some things missing. There are some unaccountable items. There are some things, and God is not happy with us. And I don't know why God is not happy, but God sent me out here to call the captains of captains and captains of hundreds and captains of thousands, and we were to do inventory, so we need to make sure that everything's jitty-jitty. And they said, oh, yes, everything's just fine. And then the Lord said, go to Achan's house. And what he did brought down destruction on everybody associated in his house. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying Joshua's right. What God is getting ready to do, in light of what God has already done, requires a greater responsibility. What does he say to them? He said, listen, you do understand that God is a chastening God. Can I tell you, inasmuch as God is liberal and resourceful, he's also a God of reckoning. In other words, I heard the Lord say, listen, pastor, you do all you can while you can. And when I come, I'll set other things aright. I thank God now. I'm getting ready to leave you alone. And I know you heard that before, but I'm tired now. And so the Bible reminds us that Joshua says that you all are not going to be able to do it. But they said to him, no, we know what we are talking about this time. The Bible shows us that Joshua calls them to reconnect and calls them to remembrance. He calls them to reverence and to remove and reconsider. He hears their unanimous reply. He gives his rebuttal. But what I love about this story, it actually turns out in the favor of the children of God. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, beloved of God, in as much as y'all been messing up here lately, this thing is about to reprieve for y'all, because the Bible says that they rose in their resolution and said to Joshua, we don't care what you say, but we've made up our mind that we're going to get it right this time. We realize that we messed up before. We realize that we caused ourselves some missteps. It should have took us around 11 days to get here, but down through the years, because of God's grace and mercy, we have determined ourselves that we'll never make that mistake again. I wish I had one witness that can tell your neighbor, I know we've been messing up around here, but I made up my mind that I'll never make that mistake again. I'm going to tear down the idols. I'm going to lift up my praise. I'm going to cross over to God, and I'm not coming back. I've made up my mind that as good as God has been to me, I'm sure enough going to show up better. I'm going to show up better. I'm going to stand up better. I'm going to speak up better. The Bible says they reconnected to God. And if you read your Bible carefully and slide down into verse 31, the Bible says that their testimony is true, that the people of Israel served their God. They made God look good. The Bible says that because of Joshua's leadership, that that nation served its God. They made God look good. They kept him high and lifted up. They praised his holy name. They blessed him coming in and blessed him going out. They called on the name of the Lord. The Bible says that they continued to serve him even after Joshua died. I feel my help now. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that early one Sunday morning, the God we served, Jesus, married little baby, they buried him on Friday. But early, I said early. Hold on, Reverend. You're getting there too fast. What are you trying to say? I'm saying that the Lord died, but when he died, we didn't die. We came to life, and because he lives, I can serve him better. Because he lives, I'm going to stand up for him. Because he lives, I'm going to give him the glory, because my God is not dead, but I'm going to serve him. I said I'm going to serve him because he's worthy. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, the God we serve is calling us, and you ought to answer when he calls. He's calling us out of dark places. He's calling us out of cliques and clisms. He's calling us out of our secret moments. He's calling us because now is our time. It's our season to be blessed. God gave you a blessing. God gave you a way out. God is calling for us to rise and shine and give him the glory. I say God is calling. Is there anybody here going to answer that call? Can I get one witness that will rise up and say, I remember, and because I remember, I will serve him until I die.
going to be faithful even unto death. If my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will. I know the Lord will. That's why I serve him. When I close my book, I'm not going to close my mind. I'm going to think on the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me. And so I remember, I'm reconnected. I got my juice back. I feel reaffirmed. I feel like going on. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Look at your name and say, neighbor, it's going to be all right. I feel a change coming. I feel a shift in the atmosphere. What Brookville was ain't what it's going to be. We're going higher and higher. We're getting better and better. We're getting stronger and stronger, because if we hold our peace, the Lord will fight for us. Won't he fight for you? Aren't you glad that you're reconnected? Aren't you glad that you're recommitted? Aren't you glad that you held on just a little while longer? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our help. Jesus is our hope. Jesus, Jesus, say yeah. I know what I'm saying, but it ain't gonna matter till what you say is what you really mean. Joshua says, I'm just reminding y'all. I want to tell you something very quickly. Let me stand up together. We're gonna go. But I believe this. I believe every generation needs to be reminded of the faithfulness of God. Brother Deacons, can I get you to help me for a minute? Every generation needs somebody to be the storyteller with integrity to remind every generation of the faithfulness of God. There is something about faithfulness that gets God's attention. It's really a simple matter. Joshua is really saying to them, what you've learned is how you ought to live. So he calls leaders. And he says to the leaders, hey, let's remember. If you go back and look at chapter 23 and start working your way through the verses, he does the same thing with the leaders. He said, man, y'all remember when our enemies were all around us? Y'all remember when we were smaller than other nations? Y'all remember when we didn't have no money, our grocery? God fed us. Remember when we were trapped and thirsty, God made water. And I can see the leaders in their praise break saying, man, watch out now, watch out, watch out, watch out. Don't talk about that, Josh. Don't say that, man. And then he brings the family together. Brookville is this simple. A house divided can't stand. I don't know what y'all got against me. I don't know what you got against preachers. I don't know what you got against anybody, but you're killing us. You're killing us. We stuck on silly things. We got to get over it. And if we keep our eyes on God, we ain't got time for nothing else. Look ever to Jesus, and he'll carry you through. Joshua says, just remember. And then their response, their righteous response, is the only response. They said, we're going to do it. I don't know. I'm just going to finish my troubled season. are saying we ain't going to be voting on nothing no time soon. Because God never called for a vote. God never said, assemble the people together, make the motion, put it forward, and let them vote. No. Joshua says, you just remember what God has done. Now let's do what he's saying do. Ain't no motion. No question, no quorums. And there's some folk mad at him. He don't give us no voice. That's the problem. Too many folk talking and we can't hear God. Let all the earth keep silent before him. And if you're not a storyteller of integrity, we don't need you spinning us no tales. They sat in that circle. Heard what Joshua said. And notice very quickly, nobody interrupted him. The crying folk that always wanted to go back to Egypt have long been dead. They died when the Lord opened up the ground and swallowed them. They died. Those who were not fit for kingdom living died on their way. And God never regretted one funeral. God never regretted one eulogy. He said, because only those who are like me and with me can be with me. So what are you saying, Pastor? Stop lying. Don't say what you don't mean to say. If you're a leader and you're not ready to lead, stop lying. If you're in the choir and you're not ready to follow, stop singing. If you're a trustee and you're not really trustworthy and not committed to the house, stop serving. I didn't say leave the Lord. I didn't say leave the kingdom. I didn't say leave the church. But don't create an atmosphere built on lies. Stay on your knees and say, Lord, maybe not in this season. But God, when you have made me ready, God, I lift my hand. I'll say yes again. How many know God will let you say yes again? You don't have to live a lie. I stopped preaching. I'll tell y'all this very quickly. I'll let you go. I stopped going to church. I stopped preaching for almost 7 years because I wasn't going to lie no more. I heard a sermon about my 17th year in life, and it convicted me. I'd been preaching since I was 12. But a preacher stood up and preached a sermon much like this, and it convicted me. And he was old school, Sister Davis. Halfway through the sermon, he told us, all y'all lies going to hell. And he was serious, and he kept going, and he said it so many times, and looked like he was looking at me all the time. You ever been in church and look like the preacher just looking at you? Then like every time I do like this, he do like this. I think he was the originator. When I move, you move, just like that. So I said, Lord, I went home and cried. And I told God, just what I'm telling y'all, I said, God, maybe not now. But when I'm more qualified, more suitable, God, I'll say yes. Because until you mean what you say, you'll not say it. I'm going to step back. And I want every disciple that can be honest. If you can say honestly that you genuinely want to reconnect, that you genuinely want to reaffirm, recommit, and remain, I need you to come and stand with me in unity. Because whatever the house is, that's what the house is today. Come on, look closer. Thank you, preacher. I need you. I just need you. Now, I'm telling you here and now that this ain't no gimmick. This ain't for me. I'm not going to try to get no money from you. I'm not. There's no line system. This is just about integrity. Thomas, can you come here for a second? Come here. You're here today for a reason. I know Thomas. I coached him in football. I didn't know who he was when I read the card. But I was watching you. I've been praying for 12 men. When you came in today, and I'm not trying to scare you, I'm not trying to shake you up. It's still going to be up to you. But God said, that's one. I really believe that something's got getting ready to happen in your life. God's going to use you. Now here's what the Lord is telling me to tell you. I've been watching you all service. I think the young lady saw me watching you. She probably thought you owed me money or something. But the Lord says you're going to have to get through to get to. You got a lot of stuff. God's going to help you, though. He's going to help you weed out some things. He's going to take some of the idols out of your life. But God wants to use you. You've lived this long, not by happenstance. There's a new season taking place in your life. I heard you telling me what your dreams were. Last Sunday, that's what we talked about, dreams. I know what you want because you said it from your own mouth. Here's what the Lord is saying. God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart if you'll give me your heart. You're young. I wish I was your age again. Shucks, most of us old guys wish we were your age again. But God really wants to use you. And I'm standing here to encourage you today. Can I get three brothers? Come over here. Come here, Coach. I know I need you. Come here. I just need anybody else, but I definitely want Coach to come here. But McKenzie. Adrian, I'm trying to step in here. Deacon Walker, come here. You're a smart guy. Come here. Come on, Brother Thomas. Come here. Come on, Tashim. Come here. Sean, come here. I didn't mean just three. I mean, I needed to start. But what I want you to know, that these men have various walks of life. You know, come on. Deacon Anderson, he's over there with his family. Come here, Eric. That's my security man. Come on. By here. These guys all got stories. Every one of them got a story. None of these guys are perfect. I know these guys. All of them got their own stories. What the devil's going to try to tell you is that you ain't ready. That you got a lot of stuff to do. No. What you got to do is be faithful and trust God. I'm telling you, this has nothing to do really with you joining this church, really. Not that if that comes, that's fine. God will use you anywhere. I'm just praying he'll use you here. But what I'm telling you is, I put you surrounded by a cloud of witness that you'll know that you don't have to be perfect. You just got to get in the process. All these guys have come from, have gone through, and are still coming from and going through, but they're trusting God. And that's all I'm asking you to do. Just trust God today afresh, all over again, and watch what God's going to do in your life. We need men. That young lady that's with you, I don't really know who she is. I'm not going to be nosy and ask you no questions. But I'm telling you now, she would rather have a God man than just a good man. She's nodding her head. I wish you could see it. But I'm telling you now, when you give over to God, your greatest Thomas is yet to come. These men standing around you, I know you're not going to spend a lot of time talking to them, but I just wanted you to know they all got stories. And it's natural to have a story. But if you'll reconnect with God, if you'll recommit to him and reaffirm your faith, and just remain, just hang in there, I pray God to see you next Sunday and a lot of Sundays thereafter. If Brookville's not your flavor, okay. Ain't nobody like us, though. I can tell you that right now. We are it. Trust me. We may not be the biggest. We may not have all the grandeur. But we are it. Amen. And so, Thomas, I want to encourage you. I didn't want you to get away today. I'm glad you didn't leave like some folk do. But be encouraged to know that when you do say it, say it because you mean it. But let God have your life. Everybody in the room, if you'll just get close enough to touch somebody, I just want to tell you this right now. Those of you who came, God bless you, Sister Woodson. I know that you're truly faithful to God. Sister Penn, my brother Jesse, Reverend Uriel, God bless you. This is everybody. This looks good. I'm thankful to God. Everybody moved. Now, here's what I will tell you. Here's what I'll tell you. This is an absolute, this is the issue of my heart. We can't go no further as a fraud. So everybody up here, whether you're a minister, a deacon, a trustee, choir, usher, what I need you to do today is get into your private place and pray that God would forgive you. Take advantage of that reprieve, because you have been condemned to death, but God gave you life. I need you to re-enlist as a soldier in the army of God. I need you to reaffirm that you are a soldier, a servant, and that you're going to stand. I need you to recommit to all that you said you do. Whenever you said you do it, and commit thy way. And then I need you to pray this prayer that, Lord, no matter what happens, I ain't leaving. I'm staying. If they take me out of my office, if they take their little raggedy title, they can take back their parking place, but I ain't leaving. Because I didn't sign on with them. I signed on with you. And as long as your name is on our house, I'm staying in your house. Now, God, if you relocate me, that's all right too. But I ain't quitting because it gets hard. I remember what you've done for my family, my children. I know what you did. You brought me. And for God I live. And for God I'm going to die. I'm going to die praising you. I'm going to die serving you. I'm going to die working. They not going to find me on my couch. They going to find me in the field. On the rooftop. Grinding. And they going to say of me, well done. That was a good and faithful servant. So let's stop lying to the Lord. Let's go home and pray that prayer. There are five particulars in that prayer. I mentioned them to you. You can't remember all of them. That's all right. Just say to God, Lord, you know what my pastor said, and I want to say it and do it back to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Brother Thomas today. Bless my heart to see him. And I'm praying, God, that you'll put a hedge of protection round about him. I'm praying, God, that he will hear your voice and not that of a man. I'm praying, God, that these other men will help him become a man. Help him to be a good father, a good son, a good strong warrior. Let him know, God, that this is a battle. And you need a strategy. But more than anything, you need a commander. And Lord, be his commander. Send orders from on high. That he'll know his steps are ordered by the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the young lady who stood to validate what we believe. God, I thank you for all of this people today. The hour has been well spent. It is rather lengthy, but I think it was a good time for us because we have heard what you are saying to the church. And we will not lie to you further. We will no longer say what we do not mean because it is meaningless to say it. But we will let our voice be as those who are oracles of God. Our yea will mean yea. Our nay will mean nay. Our strength is in you. Our help and our hope. Please, God, thank you again for giving me this day. I am reconnecting. I am reaffirming, recommitting. I'm taking responsibility. For you are Lord. Our doors are open to Christian discipleship. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, I pray that you'll just lift your hand and we can come and pay attention to you. I pray that if you're here today and you've traveled a long ways to make it to this point, that you know that the Lord loves you and you don't have to die. You have a reprieve from the Most High God. Lord, I didn't realize today this was my day. And so, God, I'm going to take advantage of it. If you're here today, this is your day. This is your celebration. And if you're not today, Pray, God, he'll give you another moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you touch all of this people as they turn from this place, but never your presence. And God, our word will be our bond. Old things have passed away. Forgive us for our former sins. Erase the debt of our disobedience. And now, God, give us destiny. And let us perform like we've never performed before. Let your name be glorified. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Shake at least five people's hand and bless them. Thank you, man. God bless you. Love you. Thank you, sir.